And I, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you what? The testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but rather in demonstration of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of mere men, but in the power of God. Well, it's great to be in beautiful East Texas, Quitman First Assembly of God this morning with one of my special church families. I consider you that. It's so good to see you again. This is a good-looking congregation. And my parents would always tell me before I ministered here to tell them thank you for being so good to our family. And I do thank you so much for that. The other day, someone showed me a brochure for the North Texas District Council of the Assemblies of God. It was in the year of the Golden Jubilee, and I looked that up, but I couldn't find out what year that was. But it was prepared by E.B. Crump, and he was the Secretary Treasurer of the North Texas District at that time, and I kind of remember him, so that means this happened a few years ago. I think I was a kid. But anyway, it had something about your church in it, so I wrote it down. It said, and I quote, "The first revival was conducted at Quitman in 1945, 74 years ago, by Reverend Davis, and it was later followed by Reverend W.B. Sherrill." You probably know all this. "And then the first pastor was Reverend B.L. Hood, and at that time of this writing, there were 13 charter members still living, and with the present pastor at that time, who was Reverend J.D. Ross. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, for sure, one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. So here we are, 74 years later, carrying on the vision that God gave someone for this church in this town. You know, every church is started with a vision. And I've been doing something I've never done before. I've been helping with a church plant for about 8 Saturday nights in Santa Ana, Texas. And when you have zero to start with, you just get in there and do what you can, you know. And you're not going to have too much opposition. But, you know, I've been thinking, you know, we got to have these people come out. I've been trying to think, you know, but it's like an hour and 10 minutes from where I was staying. And what do I need to do? Well, last night, a minister came where I'd been in a church, and I told him about the church. He'd been caregiving his parents. He said, "I might want to get into pastoring again." I said, "I know a church that's open. Doesn't have any people in it, but the building's open." Anyway, and the building, our pastor in DeLeon's fixed up real nice, looks new on the inside. And so he came last night. He's interested in the church, so praise the Lord. And so, you know, God just thinks in different ways than we do. We think, you know, you need a church if you're going to get anybody to come out here and pastor. Well, God might call a pastor and then grow the church, you know. His ways are higher than ours. And so it's the will of God for there to be a Pentecostal church in every town in the United States of America and in the world. And, you know, people who purposely, without good reason, if they do not go to the house of God, they really do not believe the Bible. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. For if they believed, unless they're absent with good reason, they would come to an event where Jesus said he was going to be. And he's more important than the president of the United States or any king or queen in the world. And he said he's going to be here this morning, and he said he's going to be here tonight. For he said, "If just two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them." So I'm looking for you to be here tonight as well. God's got something he's going to do this morning. But Jesus told me he was coming to the service tonight. So I know you'll want to be here. I want to be here. And it's good to see familiar faces and friends. And I commend and appreciate all of you for honoring God on the first day of the week after Christmas 2019. I hope you all had a meaningful Christmas with Jesus, and some with family and some with friends. But we celebrate Jesus every day. And I just want to say something. This church just looks slam dunk gorgeous. I just walked in here, and I just love that contrast, those red lights on that green, and it just looks so pretty in here. You obviously have some interior decorators, and so you've got it looking good. And I want to thank Pastors Ken and Norma Otwell for the honor of invitation in this, I consider always a sacred responsibility. And I want to thank you. I'm humbled today. Thank you so much for the offering. My prayer is that God would give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and that you would sense no loss, but rather it would turn out to be an investment with more interest than you would get anywhere else. I bring you greetings from SAGU. You know, the Methodists have SMU, and the Baptists have Baylor. SAGU is your university and my university. And so our president wants us to tell that there's some new tuition specials for those wanting to take class online and on campus as well. So if you want to look that up online, that's available. And I was thinking of at least six that are either in this room or have gone to school there. It's so good to have Carla Wright this morning helping us on the drums. The music sounded wonderful. And you're singing as well. You're worshiping the Lord great today. Thank you so much for using your talents and your abilities for the Lord. But so I'm among some people here, and I don't know if Darby's in here or not, but anyway, oh, there she is right there. I hope they don't want their grade changed from an A to a B. I think they made A's. Anyway, Lord, please let them have made A's. So, but 2 days before graduation, a couple of Friday nights ago, I came in the building that the chapel's located in about 9 o'clock at night to do some work in the office. And it was kind of strange because the same young man opened the door for me each night because it was locked. And what are the chances that I would meet the same person on the same night at the same door? And I realized that the power of God had fallen upon him, and he was having a manifestation of the Spirit of God and a visible manifestation of the Spirit of God upon him, such as I kind of saw some at the Pensacola Revival. And I'll mention a little bit more about that tonight. So I am very excited about this on our campus to begin the year 2020 with. And so I just pray that God would do even more. I brought some ministry products along. They're in the car if anybody wants any of those. I think most of you have been exposed to those before, but the T-shirts with scriptures all over them or other products there, I'd be glad to get those out for you. I was thinking about something regarding my students. I have them memorize a scripture every day because we're supposed to incorporate the Word of God in all of our classes at Southwestern, no matter what the subject matter is. So I go over a little short scripture. They like the short ones. With them every day, and then I test them at the end of the semester. And so I was grading one girl's paper, and one of the verses, we memorized them alphabetical order, M, it says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And when I was grading hers, she got down to M, and she said, it's something about lust. Okay, she remembered the big word, didn't she? And then I was grading another one semester, and we were on the W verse, and it said, it was supposed to be, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And I looked down in hers on W, and it said, with this ring I thee wed. Well, that might be in the Message Bible, but anyway, that wasn't the one I was looking for. If you want to, turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. And I believe this morning the Lord wanted me, I came across this last night, I'm supposed to pray for people here. If you know someone where they're having trouble with mentality, or if that's you, or just if you know someone today that needs healing in that area of their body, right now I want us to all pray for them. And I'm going to lead in the prayer that John G. Lake, who was used mightily by God in the gift of healing many years ago. And so if you know someone that's in that case, would you just put your hand right there on your head, and I'm going to just quote this prayer, and let's all believe God together. The Almighty God, by the Spirit, comes into your soul, takes possession of your brain, and manifests himself in the cortex cells of your brain. When you wish and will, either consciously or unconsciously, the fire of God, the power of God, that life of God, that nature of God is transmitted from the cortex cells of your brain and throbs through your nerves, down through your person, into every cell of your being, into every cell of your brain, your blood, your flesh, and your bone, into every square inch of your skin, until you are alive with God. That is divine healing. And Lord, I pray that you would heal all that are in such a case today. Lord Jesus, let this mind be in all of us that was also in Christ Jesus, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. I ask for the healing of minds today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just felt like I was supposed to do that, so I want to follow the leading of the Lord. And I feel like I'm supposed to say that there's someone here who is nearing despair over something. You're nearing despair over something, and you're suffering in isolation because you can't talk to anybody about it. But God's going to do something. God knows something to do, and God will do something. It's a matter of timing, and I want to tell you, his voice makes the difference. If you can just hear his voice, you can handle it until the answer comes. And I pray that you hear his voice today. In Mark chapter 15, verse number 33, it says, "And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your spirit that I feel in this place. It's been prayed and fasted down. I thank you, God, that everybody came expecting to meet you, because this is the tabernacle of meeting with God. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are in this house. And Lord, we honor you and we praise you. Now I ask you, Lord, to give me clarity of thought and ease of expression. Make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. I am nothing, you're everything. Take nothing this morning and use it for your glory. Show me how to decrease more and more, Lord, so that you may increase more and more. And I pray that you'd tailor make this message to aptly fit the needs of this people. And I ask you to accompany your word with signs following. And I pray that Jesus would be glorified and the devil would be horrified in this service. We'd ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. A total eclipse is an eerie phenomenon. It occurs when the moon passes between the sun and the earth, as you know. And the sun's rays, they're blocked totally from striking the earth. And all of the United States saw a partial eclipse on August the 21st, 2017. But there was a tiny slice that was 70 miles wide going diagonally across the center of the country. It started at Salem, Oregon to Kearney, Nebraska. And then it ended in Charleston, South Carolina. And they saw a total eclipse. And so an eclipse is a total envelopment of something else. And the title of this message is Total Eclipse. At the beginning, God looked down on this earth and he regretted, the Bible said, he repented that he made man. He wanted to believe he could trust man with it. But then when a man and a woman listened to the devil and they believed the devil more than they believed God, they partook of a tree he told them not to eat from. And the sin nature in man, it tried to be a controller and a manipulator on them. And sin always promises you something it cannot continue to deliver, and it makes you feel guilty as a dog as you live a life of sin. So from that moment on, at least somewhere in there, God decided there had to be a blood sacrifice to take away sins. And what a bloody mess that turned out to be. Everyone had to bring a perfect lamb or a pigeon or a dove if they were too poor to afford a lamb when they went to church. How many of you are glad you didn't have to bring a dead animal to church this morning? We just get to walk in here and offer up the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to Jesus. But God decided on a plan, and God the Father, sometimes we think about Jesus in anguish, but God obviously anguished in grief and sorrow beyond imagination, by deciding to send his only begotten son to become the perfect blood sacrifice. Think about how you would feel as a father. And he was going to send him once and for all the sins of mankind. All the sins from Adam to the beginning of the new heavens and the new earth wherein will dwell righteousness. So at some point, obviously, he told Jesus he wanted him to leave the paradise of heaven and go to earth and be born of a woman. And he said, you're going to feel everything that every human ever feels, and then you're going to die on the cross for their sins. So he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus left the glories, the luxuries, the splendor, the grandeur of heaven. And he walked on this earth around 33 years or so. And if he felt everything that we had to feel and he knew what was ahead of him, you can be sure he felt anxiety. Maybe there was panic in the systems of his body. Maybe he was in apprehension. He was in nervousness. He dreaded all that began to weigh in on him when he thought about bearing the sins of the whole world. Because remember, he felt everything we've ever felt, and we all feel that. And then here it came. Years became months, and months became weeks, and weeks became days, and days became hours, and hours became minutes, and minutes became seconds. And then he was in the garden. And as he began to feel the looming weight of the sins of the whole world. You know how bad you feel when you sin. Think about bearing the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. The Bible says his sweat, if you've ever had beads of sweat pop out on you, his sweat wasn't like our sweat. His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. And he might have said something like, he's talking to the Father, if there's any other way, I don't feel like I can do this. I don't feel like I can go through this. I don't feel like I can take this. I don't feel like I can hold up to this. Maybe he said something like that. But then he said, Father, if it be possible, would you just let this cup pass from me? Isn't there some other way? But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then they came for Jesus. They took him to the Roman whipping post. The Bible says they punched him. They boxed him. They bruised him. They spat all over him, likely. They reviled him. It's whatever we can think of is worse than that. They plucked out his beard. Some say they pulled it out by fistfuls, but the scripture says they plucked out his beard. That's a little bit different. In other words, they tortured Jesus. Maybe that's why the scripture said his visage, from all the plucking of the beard and them boxing him and all they did to him, made his face swell so much. The Bible said his visage was so marred, more than any man, so swollen likely. And then at the Roman whipping post, I did some study on this. They take off all the clothes of the person they're about to whip. So they took off all of Jesus' clothes and they strung him up taut, tight to the Roman whipping post. And he who had all power used no power. That's the epitome of being able to handle power and position. When you've got all the power and you don't use it, that shows you can handle power. And that's what he did. And so history records that they would have two executioners that would serve to whip him. And so alternately, there would be one on one side and one on the other. They used a cat of nine tails. One had come down on him, and then the other would come down on him with what is called a Roman lictor. And there were pieces of bone and metal attached to it, and they gave him 39 lashes. His body was mutilated and shredded and hanging in crimson, dripping ribbons. Most people who had crucifixions in those days, they died from the crucifixion. They died from the lashing before they went to the crucifixion. They were literally lashed to death, but the Jews could only do 39 stripes. And so that's why they were limited on Jesus. And then they put a purple robe on him to mock him and a crown of sturdy, about 6-inch long Judean thorns, and they crammed it into his brow, breaking the capillaries and the veins and the arteries, and the blood came streaming down his face. It was in his eyeballs. It was in his eyelashes. His tears were blood running down his face. Then they threw a heavy wooden cross on him, and they expected him in that emaciated state to carry it up the hill. But Simon of Cyrene, and they don't even know why he was in that country. He was from another country, from Cyrene. Why he was in Jerusalem. But he saw Jesus trying to lug that cross. And Simon stepped out and he carried his cross for him. And history records that Simon's sons became some of the most stalwart Christians of the early church. Maybe when they left, they said, "Did you see Daddy? Daddy was full of compassion. daddy, our daddy stepped out and took the cross off of Jesus Christ's bloody shoulders and carried it up the hill for Jesus. And they were hooked in at that point. We all need to get hooked in that much. And they got to the top of the hill. History records they took all his clothes off of him. No loincloth. Maybe that's why the women were kept quite a distance from the cross. And he let them throw him on that beam in abject humiliation. He let them pound a nail into his right hand, pound a nail, a spike into his left hand, and then pick up the cross and into his feet as well, and then pick up the cross and drop it in the hole, suffocating and gasping for each breath. And every nanosecond that he hung there was an eternity. He thought it'd never be over with. And he hung there for six of the longest hours ever known to mankind. And nobody else has ever been crucified who bore the sins of the whole world. That's the difference in his crucifixion and others. And at times he would say things like, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And after 3 hours he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because you see, he couldn't hear God, he couldn't feel God, he couldn't see God, he couldn't sense God. That's some of you right now. You're in that. Your perceptions are telling you he's not there and he's not listening. But you know what Jesus did when he couldn't hear him or feel him or see him or talk or hear him talking back to him? He just kept on believing. That's for you today. Just keep on believing. If you're not hearing anything, if you're not seeing anything, if you're not noticing anything, just believe. That's what Jesus did. Just keep on believing. And at that moment, after 3 hours, there was a total eclipse. The earth became black at 12 o'clock noon. And the 4-inch thick, some say it's 7-inch, some say it's 9-inch, 30-foot tall veil, some say it was 60 feet tall, the veil in the temple, it ripped like a rotten rag from the top to the bottom. And history records that not even 4 yoke of oxen could tear it asunder. But it ripped at that moment. And something cataclysmic was happening like nobody had ever seen before. Did anybody notice that it turned black? You know, those heathen demoniacs there that's acting like mad dogs. Is like everything turned black. Go get the lanterns. That reminds me of some demoniacs I'm hearing about in Washington. Just can't stand it. They don't have any good sense. We can't see him, so go get the lanterns. Did you notice it's noon and you can't see him? Did you think about something supernatural might be going on? They were hypnotic. They were livid with rage and ignorance and unbelief. And when he felt so all alone and rejected by God, he still exhibited the same tough love his father had. He's just as tough as the father. He still went through with it. And it was said that probably over 1 billion lambs had been slain in that area through the years. The blood of 1 billion lambs could not equal 1 drop of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it was shed for all of us. And finally, after 6 hours of bearing all the sins, he said the most prolific, 3 most prolific, profound words, the most potent sentence ever uttered by man. He said, "It is finished." Hallelujah. And at that moment, the earth quaked, the rock split in two. They took Jesus off of the cross. They put the body of Jesus in a borrowed tomb. But Jesus wasn't dead. His body was dead, but he wasn't dead. Jesus in spirit went down to the heart of the earth, to paradise. 2 compartments there. One was hell where the flames were. The other was where the Old Testament saints were waiting. And the Bible said he preached to the spirits in prison. I don't know exactly all about that, but maybe he went down and said to them, "I just died on the cross for you. Would you like to accept me as your personal Savior?" And they probably said yes. And the Bible said he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from the devil. And having spoiled principalities, he made a show of them openly right there in front of them. Hallelujah. Triumphing over them in it. Glory to God. He did a total eclipse on the devil. Can I get a witness? Jesus left the devil sucking air. Glory to God. It may seem like Friday night and what you're going through, but I want to tell you, Sunday is on the way. For on the third day, the stone was rolled away, and the angel said, Mary, go and tell that the Son of God has risen. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive and well in First Assembly of God in Quitman, Texas today. And Jesus walked on this earth about 40 days, and he said something like, I got to get out of here, because if I don't get out of here, the Comforter will not come. But he said, if I go away, I'll pray the Father. I'll talk to the Lord, the God Almighty, my Father. And he said, he'll give you another Comforter, meaning one of the same kind as Jesus. That's what the Greek says. I know a little Greek. He owns a restaurant. But anyway, that's another little bit more. Okay, he said, I'm going to send one of the same kind as Jesus to be with you. You see, Calvary was necessary for us to have a Pentecost in our souls and in our church this morning. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued, until you be clothed, until you be soaked, until you're immersed with power from on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Holy Ghost baptism, it's not a mere option. It was a commandment of Jesus, tarry until you be endued. I want to be clothed with power from on high. This jacket is like power from on high. That's what I want to be clothed in this morning, power from on high, as Gideon was. And so when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. I never get tired of this. Like a rushing mighty wind, like a hurricane wind. Can you imagine being in there and your hair's blowing and your clothes are blowing and everything else is blowing around? You're just like sitting there. And the Spirit of God came and tongues of fire sat upon each of them. And they were all, praise God, filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's the conjunction. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And in that upper room with 120 people in it, there was a total eclipse of the person of the Holy Spirit on the whole group. Glory to God. That's the will of God for this church this morning. That's what we need. We don't need just a smidgen or a smattering, but we need a total eclipse of the Holy Ghost in our lives. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire and burn with the Holy Ghost. And after 40 days, when Jesus started to ascend from the earth, they were all watching. The angel said to them, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which you've seen go up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. For one of these days, my Bible says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, glory, and so shall you ever be with the Lord. Coming soon to a city near you, the rapture. I'm pretty fired up about this morning, because night before last I had a dream. I heard the trumpet sound in the dream. And I was like, it's here. It's happening. This has never happened to me in my life. I heard the trumpet sound, and I started going up. And I didn't even think about this earth. And I saw explosions of creations and scenes of the glory of God, like fireworks. I was like in the middle of a grand finale of fireworks, except it was glory exploding all around me as I was going up. And I'm like, it's here. It's happened. That wasn't just a dream. I don't know if he's giving me a heads up or just trying to encourage me. Or he's telling me to warn the church how important it is that you be here when the doors are open to hear the man of God feed you. Because you want to be found faithful when that trumpet sounds. Because we're going to do church a lot. And it's going to be glorious and you're going to love it. We're going to get high on the Holy Ghost every day, all the time. So we might as well get used to it down here. And then I realized, I was thinking, oh, I'm breathing. I'm breathing. I'm like, you don't breathe when you're raptured. I never thought about that before, but at that moment I did. And then I knew it was just a dream. Oh, how I wanted that to be real. I can't tell you how good this is. You want to be ready. I guarantee you, you want to be in on this event. Live rapture ready. Live drop dead ready. Live faithful ready, because he's coming back for those that are watching for him and looking for him. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You're going to like what God's about to do. He's going to do a total eclipse of the earth with the rapture. It will engulf the whole earth. I had something else I was going to put in there, but I'll just do that another time. Let me cut straight to the chase here. There's going to be a total eclipse of the media. They're going to get like sucked into a spiraling vortex, the liberals. And that apocalyptic quartet of socialism sows is what I call them. AOC, she needs a dip in the AOG. There's going to be a total eclipse of the television. There'll be a total eclipse of the internet. A total eclipse of the cell phone. And AOC, she may want to take away airplanes and oil and gut all the buildings and get rid of the cows and the cars and common sense and free health care and free college and no borders, no border patrols. And she and her false religion comrades, they're all one taco short of a combination platter, to put it mildly. But it's like Margaret Thatcher said, eventually you run out of other people's money. Socialism and communism is just a huge Ponzi scheme. The sinners and you and me that are ready, we're going to have a total eclipse when the rapture comes and this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. This house of flesh is but a prison. Bars of bone hold my soul. But the doors of clay are going to burst wide open when the angel sets my spirit free. And I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills of home start calling me. And happy faces line the hallways. Those whose lives have been redeemed, broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed, little children and the aged hand in hand stand all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, now clad in garments white as snow. Jesus is coming. The king is coming back. Live ready. And last of all, we need some personal total eclipses. You know, cows and buffalo, they differ a little bit in regard to a storm. Cows, when there's a storm coming, I've watched them many times, they run away from the storm. And the storm keeps coming, keeps chasing them. But buffaloes, they do something different. Buffaloes run into the storm. And you know, that's the same as David with the giant. They get it behind them, get through with it, done with it. Run towards your storm. Run towards your enemy. Scare him to death. You have the power of God residing in you. And you're in for a total eclipse of your storm when the power of God engulfs your situation as you run towards your enemy and do damage to the enemy. Stories told of a farmer. And he had an old donkey. It was really old. And there was a well on his place. And one day the donkey was out walking around and the donkey fell in the well. And I mean, it was a deep well. And the donkey's like, oh no, I'm going to die right here. I fell into this well. No way, no way out. And so the farmer comes along and he finds the donkey in the well. And he goes, wow, I don't know how to get him out. I can't get him out. Like, he's really old anyway, and so what am I going to do? Okay, I'm just going to call all the neighbors over, and we're just going to all bring shovels, and we're just going to dump dirt on him until we have buried the donkey. And so they all came over, and so, boom, the first one dropped a shovel of dirt on the donkey, and the donkey is like, oh, no, now they're going to bury me. They're going to throw dirt on me. And he just shook his back, and he shook it off and just stamped it. The next shovel shook it off and stamped it. Another shovel of dirt on him. How many shovels of dirt have you had on you? And he just stepped on it and just stomped it. They did that all day long. And after a while, the donkey had stomped and stamped on so much dirt, he just crawled out. He got that high. I want to tell you, there's a way for you to crawl out. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. His dilemma turned into a total eclipse. The story is told of Italian violinist Nicolai Paganini. He's the best of the best with the violin. And he was in a huge concert hall for a performance, and people paid big money to come and hear him. And he was playing his song, and one of his strings broke. And he's like, oh no. But he didn't say anything. He just kept playing. He's like, I think I can do this on three strings. He just kept on playing. And then the unthinkable happened. Another string broke. Now he's down to two strings. And I'm like, okay, I think I can kind of do the duet type sound here. So he started playing on two strings, not saying anything to anybody about it. And then the thing that will cause your heart to stop if you're a musician playing an instrument with strings, the third string broke, and he's down to one last string. And he just froze in his heart. But he's like, he just started playing this melody, and he finished it out, and the crowd just erupted into a standing ovation, and he finished beautifully on one string. And you may feel like you're on your last string, but here comes Jesus walking on the water, because there's a promise coming down a dusty road. There's still a fourth man in the fire that's going to show up for you. And you need to know that the safest place to be is in the fire, because of the Jesus is in the fire. Hallelujah. It may look like Jesus is asleep in your boat, but I want to tell somebody this morning, child, your cries have woken the master. Somebody needs to hear that. And last of all, this man, his wife got cancer. They had a little four-year-old boy, their only child. And they prayed for her, but it was the Lord's will to take her. And so the father and the four-year-old boy went to the funeral that day. And they went through with it. And the people, some of the family, they offered to keep the child. Let us just keep the child with us the first night. And the father said, no, we're going to walk this grief together. So they went home, and he tucked the little boy in his bed, and the father went to bed. And in a few minutes, the father hears the little boy. He said, Daddy, it's dark in here. I'm scared. And the father said, Son, just close your eyes, and in a few minutes, you'll go to sleep. So a little time went by. In a few minutes, he said, Daddy, I'm scared. It's dark. His daddy said, just close your eyes and go to sleep. A few minutes, silence, and then here it comes again. Daddy, I'm scared. Can I come and get in your bed? His daddy said, okay, son, you can come and get in the bed. So the little boy came and got in the bed. In a few minutes, the little boy said, Daddy, it's dark. Is your face toward me, Daddy? And his dad said, yes, son, my face is toward you. And the child went sound asleep. And the father got up, and he went, and he knelt in the living room. And he said, Father, it's dark in here. I feel alone. Father God, is your face toward me? And the father said, yes, son, my face is toward you. And he went to bed, and he went to sleep, because he had a total eclipse of grief, of his grief, by the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And maybe a storm is coming on you. Maybe you feel like you fell in a well. Maybe you're on your last string. Maybe you need to know the Father's face is toward you this morning. Maybe you need a total eclipse of the Almighty in some way, in some area of your life. Maybe you just need all your sins to be gone. You just need forgiveness to eclipse your sins, the forgiveness provided for you on Calvary. Or maybe you just need that power in your life, and you just have a hard time witnessing or just taking a stand. You need the Holy Spirit to eclipse you. You want to be full. You want everything that Jesus left for you. You want Jesus to fill you with his Holy Spirit this morning. Or maybe you want to give the Lord an opportunity to heal your body. And the healer would eclipse your situation today. We can pray and ask the Lord to do that. Or maybe there's some in here, you just need to know that Jesus' face is towards you in the midst of what you're going through. Well, I want to tell you, His face is towards you, and because His face is towards you, everything's going to be all right. Would you bow your heads with me right now?